Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sandpits Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
There's only three things I know on this bitch of an earth. The PS5 is big, the McRib is back, and you're listening to Hey Fam.
What's up, Trekkies? We're hitting warp 9 speeds today on your favorite podcast, Hey Fam, to live long and prosper. Is it?
Yeah.
Is that Superman?
Yeah, it's what Superman said.
It was a peace, love.
In Man of Steel 2.
Yeah.
Peace, love, and
hair grease, dude. Yeah. That's what Superman
Peace, love,
says
and roadhead. I can't believe Zack Snyder said that in the Snyder Cut.
Hey, welcome to 2022, everybody. It's the first episode of Hey Fam in 2022. Joining us today, we have special guest Angus Truscott. Of course, yep. I'm your host, Andrew Levins. My co-host, Alexi Toliopoulos.
Yeah, it's beautiful to be hanging out in the pilot seat once again.
Yeah, we need some recalibration after the silly season. Pull our anchor in, is Alexi.
Angus is just a guest now.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I'm like the and, if there are TV credits. Yeah, I'm like, sure, and yeah, I'm Jason Alexander as George.
Yeah, we love
Even
it.
Even though I'm a permanent cast member, I've got that different credit.
What if we just start calling you the executive producer of Hey Fam?
EP?
We're in the Truscott studio right now.
Yeah, yeah, we're in the rejig Truscott studio. Yeah. And, installed
some new glass cabinets.
Wall of sound.
Mighty fine redecoration going on in this house.
Yeah, the lack of alcohol I'm drinking has now gone into building furniture and buying it.
I just took 5 weeks off work to build IKEA furniture.
Yeah. It's like Lego, but not fun.
Oh, it's kind of fun.
Oh, no, it is really fun, actually. The funnest bit is hopefully not getting COVID for being at IKEA, but... I'm boosted. I'm good.
We boosted.
We're boosted.
We're hit bros.
Yeah. Boost bros. So look, if you've not heard Alexi's gorgeous voice before, it's been a while between drinks for us.
Shit.
What was the last episode we did together? Was it Snyder Cut?
We did the Snyder Cut.
Yeah.
Oh, it's always like the kind of the start of the year, kind of. That's great.
Snyder Cut was like May.
Was it?
Yeah, it was my birthday.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That feels like it was like January last year to me.
I've now legally moved my birthday to it. I've petitioned.
It was earlier.
It was like April, I think.
I remember May was, as I put my whole calendar together, is based on Zack Snyder releases. May was Army of the Dead. That's right, I had to go interview him.
We had 30 days of Zack Snyder.
And I scrubbed my history of reviewing the Snyder Cut from the internet because I had to interview him for Army of the Dead. So I was like, yeah. Gotta clear everything out. Clear everything else I said about the Snyder Cut.
He cancels you mid-interview. That's great. But yeah, if you're unaware of Alexi,
another kid kills themselves because they read your reviews.
Alexi, of course, is one of the hosts of Total Reboot, Mic Check, and various other podcasts around the internet.
The Finding
Saga,
Finding Nemo, Finding Dory, the co-creator. You and Hansi, what's his name? John Lasseter, creators of Lasseter. Finding Nemo, Finding Drago.
Two jolly guys that will have to wear Hawaiian shirts.
Two party animals. Who lets go of a hug first with you and John Lasseter?
Oh, God, we just spin into eternity.
You have to get pride away.
It's like a K-hole. Everything's it's just like a hug hole. Time and
both
space.
Both slapping each other's thighs.
Slapping each other's face.
We just gyrate until we just...
You start clean shaven and you've both got like beards and hair by the time you let go.
That would be a good gif I'd like to see.
Yeah, so, okay.
The eternal gift, hug.
Dude. We love gifts.
Eternal hug. Do you think they'll do Cars movies without John Lasseter?
Or maybe like the opening, the next Cars movie opens with them, like they finally killing have, him. Yeah, they have like the yeah. first human in the Cars universe. So John Lasseter
is drunk like, driving like, or something.
Has Mater mows him down.
Wow, yeah, we would love
Mater's
that.
Mater's drunk driving.
I think I hit us in a speed hump.
And he's like, no.
That speed hump tried to hurt try to
no,
me.
No, Mater, that's a sex offender. Wow. Yeah, I don't think they will, huh?
No, you're right. Yeah,
unfortunately.
Maybe, wouldn't that be great?
We've seen the end of that universe.
They were his terms. He's like, well, fine. If you find me, I'm taking the Cars movies. And they're like, literally, while you're at it, could you take Brave as well?
How many Cars characters can we name? Lightning McQueen, Mater.
There's one called like Luigi or something because he's Italian.
Yeah, there's Luigi. Yeah. And there's another like
Mario. Probably.
You know what? Proudly, I'm tapped out.
Is it Doc Hudson? Is that the name, is it the name of the?
Yeah,
I know that I Paul Newman's Hudson. In the first one. Michael Caine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Michael Caine's in the second one.
Michael Caine. I think he plays Get Carter.
That's sick.
Is my guess, but I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
Isn't that the third one is apparently okay?
Yeah, it's
is
awesome.
It, yeah. Oh, you've seen it?
No.
No.
Life is a
I've only seen Cars 2.
Really?
Yeah, I've got it on Blu-ray. Because I worked at Disney Channel when it came out on Blu-ray and they gave it to me as a present.
That was your severance package?
It was my sign-up gift.
We're like, we're sorry. Then.
I got given... this was my sign-up gift to when I worked at Disney Channel when I was like 19 years old. They gave me a package with... full of John Carter of Mars stationery, that USBs, rules. And Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides on Blu-ray, Fright Night, the remake on DVD, and Cars 2 on Blu-ray.
On Stranger Tides, is that the fourth one? That
yeah,
was, yeah, yeah.
The awesome one.
The one that looks like, it's hard
the
to look at.
The one of Ian McShane and Penelope Cruz, it's awesome.
Oh, sick.
And is, what's his name? Is Johnny Depp not even in
he's
that
He's in it, he's a lead. Right.
He's in it, but is he yeah, in it?
He's in the lead, all right.
Yeah. He's the lead.
Wait, is Paul McCartney
Do you think they gave fucking Orlando Bloom the franchise
is it,
for a
isn't
movie?
There a Pirates movie without Johnny Depp
no,
in it?
No, there's right. one without Orlando Bloom, and that's
and
on Stranger Tides.
Kira. Is Paul McCartney in On Stranger Tides?
He's in the new one.
Actually, you and I were speaking about Orlando Bloom when we went to...
Alana Bloom.
The Matrix.
Yeah, we saw Matrix.
We spoke about Orlando Bloom, basically the car trip.
Yeah, we started talking about Randos, dude.
Yeah, we were like, he was destined for big things and he's like
the
lamest dude.
Yeah, because I rewatched Lord of the Rings last year, the trilogy, and I just remember going like, when I was, it'd been a long time since I'd seen them all, mm-hmm. and I remember being as a kid just being like, oh my God, this is the most beautiful creature of all time.
When he jumps on his shield and goes down the stairs.
Big
and
ninja
and
turtle energy.
Yeah. This guy's a fucking bee's shit. He's awesome.
He's handsome.
I thought he was the coolest guy.
You're like, I love his blonde hair and blue eyes, and then you saw him IRL.
And I watched it again, and I'm like... Gimli rocks. This guy sucks. Gimli's short, fat, awesome.
Yeah.
He's kind of funny. Orlando Bloom had no presence, and I was like, he's barely in the movie.
I think Gollum's the best character.
Yeah, we love Gollum.
He's the only one with like...
Aren't we getting a Gollum video game?
Yeah. I just watched a trailer for it.
They're
like
Arkham. They're Arkham and Gollum. They make him like ripped and...
Because it was...
Mark Hamill's probably
like,
talking for
probably
him.
Probably 15 years ago when the movies were coming out, there was two video game franchises.
There was two separate ones. Yeah. One was based off the books, and one was based off the movie. Because I was working at a video store at the time, and
Vivendi
of course,
Arts had
confusion.
The books version, and they had Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah.
And they released Hobbits, and there was meant to be another like one as well,
like
but never
franchise.
Got made. Yeah.
I but then they made movie RPG. Adaptations of like Two Towers and Fellowship. Yeah.
Whereas the film ones are probably awful.
Well, they were more like brawlers.
Nah, they're awesome.
Oh, they were like brawlers, right?
They're like brawlers.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're
cool.
Sick. They're like Dynasty Warriors.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're awesome.
There was that one, the Mines of Moria, I remember. You're in there. I think that's where it started.
It starts Mines of Moria level one.
Yeah.
They're unreal, dude.
Yeah, that's
right. We should play them.
They should remaster them. But I think they're in like copyright hell because Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Remember like the whole reason why.
God, I can't wait to talk Warner Brothers.
Remember, Peter Jackson.
We will today.
I think we will.
Remember how like fucked
we
the whole.
We got a certain film that we might be discussing.
How fucked the whole Hobbit shit was when it was like New Line owned the rights.
Yeah.
But then Warner Brothers had to step in and MGM.
Oh,
and that's
why
Guillermo del Toro left. Like, and I think now Warner Brothers Games owns all. It's really messy.
God, can I say something controversial on the podcast?
Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro overrated completely.
Yeah.
Well, we tried to rewatch the Hellboy movies
at
your house one time.
Yeah.
I suffered through the first one.
Mm.
Like, what happened? Did you get like burnt or something?
No,
it just sounds like you caught fire.
Awesome.
No, we had to turn off 10 minutes.
I liked it. No, I
dude, at the time we were like, this sucks.
I was fast forwarding watching it.
We watched it together and we stopped watching
it.
Yeah,
that's true. Wow. I still like it more
this
than
one. Mr. Scrubs his reviews off the internet. Holy shit.
It's like a shitty Harry Potter movie.
Yeah, that's why I like it.
Yeah, right.
Okay. I like fantasy movies.
You like any hints that Guillermo del Toro is a turf? You're like, now I think I like this one.
Let be known that was a gag.
Did you see his new one yet?
No.
What, Harry Potter reunion?
Yeah, I did watch that.
That was Guillermo del Toro.
Did that come out? Is it just like the Friends one where they just talk?
Yeah.
Is it hosted by
Matthew Perry?
Yes.
Like, could you be any more magic?
It's hosted by the other guy from his Corden and Horn sketch group. The freaking
isn't it Stephen Fry?
It's nobody. Oh. It's just Emma Watson. Kind of,
yeah, right.
She hosts.
Beatbox at any point?
Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it.
Yeah,
it's
right.
On Binge and Fox.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it.
And it's shorter runtime by 5 minutes because it's sped up.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything on we
cracked that on.
I hate it.
Do you talk about that? I feel like we more people talk about the fact that Binge speeds up everything
because they don't read anything on there.
They don't re-encode it.
Yeah, it's fucking god awful.
They take it straight.
You save all that good shit like the Harry Potter reunion.
Yeah,
bring
it here. Yeah. But I gotta talk about Harry Potter reunion.
Apparently,
yeah,
they only mention shit.
You can hear everyone's voice sped up.
Well, dude, I watched two seasons of Succession that I'd bought in like perfect whatever quality. Then the third season, you have to watch exclusively on Binge.
Yeah,
and I was so used to the like timbre, the speed of the voices, and I was like, Kendall sounds like he's been like sucking off a helium cock because I couldn't understand anybody. Everyone was sped up. I was so used.
Can you tell me what does a helium cock look like?
So it's like a clown. Like imagine a Macy's Day Parade thing.
Yep.
Like, you know, before you twist like, the balloon into any shape.
No. It's
like
the cock on a helium blow up parade thing.
Oh, right. So someone's made a Garfield with a
with a huge cock. And it's like Matthew Perry's hosting the Macy's Day Parade.
And Jeremy Strong was like, before I came to the character of Kendall.
No, it's Matthew Perry hosting Macy's Day Parade. He's like, is that Jeremy Strong down there? Oh, is he so? I don't even know what Matthew Perry sounds like.
Yeah.
That was pretty close.
It was great, actually.
I went the whole nine yards.
Have you seen the Friends reunion as well?
No, I'll never watch it. I hate James
Corden. The Harry Potter. Who's like the Harry Potter?
James Corden was the worst friend.
He's the worst. I hate him.
Yeah, he sucks. He's evil. He's a psyop.
He's evil.
Guarantee if he wasn't hosting the Tonight Show or whatever, Prince Philip would have been arrested for pedophilia years ago.
Well, it's so
he's got some weird immunity. The more that in America that he's hosting that, it's the only reason that's keeping the royals out.
I feel like it's so much more confusing. Like James Corden's so much more confusing in Australia because we don't have his Tonight Show.
Yeah,
or whatever.
So we don't have like
we don't
that.
Understand why he's a thing. Yeah. Like yeah.
Also, we hate British people more than any other country. I think like we're allowed to because of. The convict thing.
Yeah, no other country in the world was affected by Britain as
no, you're right. No, but I mean, like we can hate them as well.
Yeah. So look, we've got Alexi Tolliopoulos here. We're going to be talking some movies for sure. But yes, first babe. And foremost, we're going to talk about the Chicken Big Mac.
Oh yeah, I had it too.
Have you guys had the Chicken Big Mac yet?
I've stared at it, but I've never.
Yeah, I had it.
I went up the coast a couple of days ago, and
north.
We had grand plans to like you know go out to a coastal restaurant or hit up a lovely.
Can you put the TV onto the Harry Potter reunion while I eat a seafood dinner with my family?
And time escaped us. Everything was closed. Like so many, like almost 50% of restaurants just don't even have staff.
I went to like four fish and chip shops yesterday. All closed. Yeah. Like everything around here and like the city shut as well.
So we're like, fuck it, let's just hit the road and get Macca's drive through.
Yeah, oh, we love it.
And
so
kids so stoked at the idea of having a happy meal.
It's a dream.
I was B had a double fish fillet.
Wow.
What'd she order?
And well first of all she roasted me for saying fillet? You can get it now. It's like advertised.
Yeah, no,
like,
yeah.
She's like, can you get it? So she got the double. Well, she said filet o fish.
I think they do double basically everything.
I can't not say fish filet or filet o fish. And I got roasted for saying filet o
fish. I was right.
It's called filet.
I think in America it's called filet.
I think here it's filet o fish.
Yeah, we're immersed fillet in American fish. Popular culture here on Hey Fam.
Again, the Kanye lyric.
James Corden is. Yeah, I think fish filet is the reason. The Watch the Throne is the reason why we've like adopted it.
Sure. I just saw it on there, the Chicken Big Mac.
You're like, fuck it.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a Big Mac head.
Me neither.
I would never in a million years order a Big Mac.
I had my first one in 2017.
Shit. late to the party.
And I didn't like it.
No, it's a garbage burger.
Then what happened for the next 4 years?
I don't remember, actually. It was my last memory.
Yeah, this podcast has several times has said we are not like Big Mac kings.
No way.
It's like
no
low
how.
On the McDonald's scale.
I'm quarter pounder.
I'm a
perfect burger.
But I love a McChicken. I love a McChicken.
Is great.
I love that peppery taste to a McChicken.
The chicken is
that
great.
Abundance of lettuce.
Especially
and
if you
mayo.
Want something lighter than a quarter pounder. Like you need something a little ooh.
Yeah. So I had the McChicken. Is it even called the Big Chicken Mac or Big Mac?
It has a really
Big Mac. It's
got a very like unglamorous name.
Yeah, totally.
Let me check it.
And it has,
I think
like,
it's called Big Mac Chicken Style,
Gangnam Style.
There's a bunch of like, it's like, oh, the new summer menu, and they're all just like, they're such lazy.
Yeah, there's onion rings.
And there's like something
Big Mac with bacon.
Big Mac and bacon,
which is like, here it is, the summer menu. I'm loving it.
There's also a sign on the drive-through windows now that says "Respect." I'm loving it.
Yeah,
wow. And then it's like two paragraphs about how you should respect McDonald's.
So that's good. I do respect McDonald's. I actually salute McDonald's staff.
Oh, we do. You're on the right podcast, baby.
Yeah, I love
Big Mac bacon. Is the bacon one
okay?
And
that's just two rashers of bacon instead of burger.
Chicken Big Mac.
Okay, yeah, I think
you call it like the Chick Mac. You know what I mean? Like, get us McDonald's. Listen to us.
The Big Chick.
Yeah.
Big
Chick.
No, because that's not respect.
Okay, right.
Yeah, they've immediately gone backwards on the poster.
We gotta respect them. Can I ask you? Is it the McChicken patties or is it the more gourmet?
No,
it's just the regular.
It's like a big nugget,
light,
which is what you want.
Chicken patties,
which is the best on the planet.
So I had one of the other ones that was the more gourmet chicken.
Yeah, the McSpicy, like, I think.
No,
I had a McSpicy, and I thought it was not McNicey.
There we go.
So McChicken, you've got two. McChicken patties. I've never had a burger with two McChicken patties before.
Well, they're bigger than the Big Mac patties. Yeah, the Big Mac
sick,
patties
man.
We've discerned.
It's too hard to... How, can you bite through that?
That's what a Big Mac size...
I got crazy Nashes, all right?
All is, five layers of
that
all
is
the breads
what a Big Mac size
chickens.
Should be. Like, that's... that. When I hear the word
huge,
Big Mac,
yeah.
I want to...
But I have to say, I don't respect that piece of bread in between my patties. Get rid of it. I don't understand.
No way.
Cut the middleman out.
I don't want extra bread when I eat.
How did you like it?
It's like a sheath in an Orthodox Jewish sexual escapade, okay?
I think that's our first Jewish joke on the podcast. We normally do pedophilia,
almost 500 episodes in, and
it's like, too. It's why is there a sheet in the middle of these?
Oh, vase. how did you find it then? Because I guess the only difference between it and a McChicken is the pickle and the Big Mac sauce.
Unbelievably good additions.
Yeah.
I like it
especially
too.
The pickles.
Yeah.
The pickles with the lettuce and that crisp McChicken patty.
Would you then go, I want a chicken Big Mac or a double McChicken? With Big Mac sauce, just to cut out that damn
piece
of bread.
I would even say I'll have a chicken Big Mac with pickles. Sorry, a double McChicken with pickles.
Yeah,
I don't think you even need. I feel like Big Mac sauce is just like slightly pickly mayo.
Yeah, you're right.
And we do.
But there's a mustard vibe going on there too.
Yeah, it was fine. I would normally like. I remember when everyone was like,
"Fuck, I might get one now."
Creaming
talking about it.
Can we get one after?
Yeah, for sure. I'll take you there.
We'll do a BYO BTS sauce
awesome.
That my fridge is still lined with.
Awesome.
That is something I still want to do. Is get McChicken's.
I did that.
Sans sauce. And then put the
I did
BTS.
That. It was great. Yeah. It was really good.
Sweet chili. Was that what it was? Yeah.
There was the sweet chili, but then there was the BTS
the
sauce.
The Cajun sauce.
The Cajun,
one. That was the one. Oh,
there's
God.
Two.
Yeah,
they had two sauces, sweet chili and Cajun.
Yeah. Sweet chili
sauce. Cajun was great.
The
Cajun
greatest was the eras of my life was the BTS meal.
Oh, it was the greatest. It was 100 meters away. Yeah. Every day I'd go in and go. I did drive through once and just asked for 10 BTS sauces.
What do you just, do where you play like the BTS, like what order can I have for you today, sir? And you play like
butter or something. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it was good. That was a good time. I missed the
good era.
Yeah, I missed the era of celebrity McDonald's meals.
Bring them back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, who do you reckon the celebrity to do it is?
Tamara
Morrison.
Yeah, wow. I would love a Tamara burger.
What would it be? Like New Zealand themed?
Yeah, New Zealand.
Fuck, I had the New Zealand burger when I was there. As we always say, we like to try the national burger at a McDonald's. It was pretty rank. It wasn't that great.
What would it be? Do they have... Because they think of a lot of sheep. Is it lamb?
Nah, that's too on the nose, I reckon. Mm. Like, you know, New Zealand sheep. I reckon what would be sick is they do a big thing with... they call it PUA, like P-U-A. Yeah. And it's like a... what do we call it here? It's like a very expensive...
like a fruit?
No, it's like it's a sea creature. It's really expensive when you go to a Chinese restaurant. It's like those big mollusky
urchins?
Things. No, we don't. It starts with an A.
Abalone.
Abalone. Yeah. So it's like chopped up abalone and it's purple and they put it with, they mash it with potato and they fry it. You can get that at most fish and chip joints in New Zealand.
Oh, that's
like
actually
that on a burger would be as fucking a hash lit. Brown. Yeah, yeah.
The Texan awesome. Barbecue bacon burger in New Zealand looks all right.
Yep.
They have the serious Angus.
Wow. I'm more of a jokester myself, so.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Give that a little miss.
I can't find it. Maybe they've taken it off there, but it was like their national burger. And
well, no one would ever be like, oh, while you're in Australia, you have to have a McOz.
No one.
A McFeast.
Fuck, they've got the McJunior.
You get a McFeast if you're here.
They've got the McJunior there, which I got to say was one of the better moments.
Premium.
Yeah.
Premium
the
burger.
The McJunior was so fucking good.
Junior Mac, so much better than a regular
Well, it uses
Big
the
Mac.
Thick meat.
You don't have that extra bit of bread.
Yeah, the and it uses the quarter pounder patty. It.
What? It's unbelievable. I want to know, like, what's happening to, like, where's that piece of bread coming from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a double heel. They're not cutting the middle of a bun out.
It's too. Well, where's. No, the question is, where's the other top?
Look, I reckon
I've never taken the. I want to take the bread out and see if it has a.
It does. I think it's identical to the bottom piece.
Weird.
So that means
no, it's not because it's got two so it's open like, sides.
So does that mean they're cutting a?
Oh,
they got
like a
three
loaf,
ways?
Like a loaf of burger bread. Or
I
something?
Reckon that's what it is. I reckon yeah. they grow a burger. They put grow. More yeast in it, so when you cook it, and they maybe they have it like a cake tin or something.
Disgusting stuff. Okay, yeah.
So that way
it
grows
it?
Out of the cake tin, and then they do a double slice.
It's disgusting to think about.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Science gone wrong.
I
they spent too much
science.
Time thinking about if they could. And
yeah.
Not,
yeah. Not if they McWood.
So we before we recorded today, we watched the latest episode of The Book of Boba Fett.
Yes.
Episode 2 of this series, exec produced by Robert Rodriguez.
Double R.
Yeah, we love the Rodriguez.
This one was directed by Steph Green.
Yeah.
And I just looked her up. She directed.
Wow.
Well, what was that? Your
that was,
phone.
That was a point.
Your phone just like commit suicide from your yeah. pocket to the floor. She directed a few episodes of The Watchmen.
Cool.
She's
oh,
like
tight.
Irish Love director. Did a few Irish movies back in the day. One with Will Forte in it that I
Oh,
there, yeah.
okay.
But yeah, I could not believe how good that episode was. That is yeah. like,
did
I
she
think,
direct The Irishman?
Yes, she did. Yeah. Just.
I would say
just
this,
the young Joe Pesci. Yeah.
The first the road two trip. Episodes of this Book of Boba have been what I've really have dreamed and never thought would ever happen with Star Wars, where, you know, like Tatooine is so important to the history of Star Wars and like what how we think of Star Wars. So I you know, some people do complain about like, oh, we're always on Tatooine. But whenever we go to Tatooine, I'm like, yes, okay, this is why yeah. I love Star Wars, this is why I think of Star Wars. And I love, have always loved Tusken Raiders as like, as far back as I've loved Star Wars. It was a first image.
For as long as I can remember.
As far back as I can remember.
I wanted to be a Tusken Raider.
But like when I saw that, like that fucking guy with his staff.
Gaffy stick.
That little gaffy stick
yeah.
over his head, like screaming in Luke Skywalker's face. I was like, what the fuck is that thing? And I was always fascinated by them and like.
But we know they're dangerous. Like we yeah. were only told little things, but we're also like told such a large amount of information mm-hmm. from them. Even the first movie, the yeah. single file.
Exactly,
like,
to hide
these,
their numbers.
Yeah, like yeah. you learn so much about them.
I think George kind of perfects his creatures immediately.
Mm.
Like, first Star Wars movie
Absolutely.
Has so
you
many
Jawas.
Of the, and you even have Jabba, right? Does he first show, or is that well, they add him in post?
Well, he's actually that in post, but he's played by
okay,
a big fat
right.
guy in a
okay,
big
well then he is the,
but
what,
for all intents
only,
but he was
like,
removed
god,
because
he's
they didn't
the god
puppet.
Tier, the only god tier creature yeah. I can think of that yeah. wasn't in the first Star
yeah.
Wars.
I mean, the Jawas, Sand People,
Wookiees.
Mm-hmm. They're the ones.
Yeah.
Anything
yeah.
else is a nice to have.
Even
oh, you've also got Rodian, like Greedo.
Rodian.
Like incredible design.
Yeah. You've
like
got Ithorians
classic.
Hanging out in the
Ithorians.
Background, and we get a yeah. first close up of an Ithorian in this movie.
Yeah. Talking with a
in
translator.
This is the first time I ever reviewed a book.
Yeah, we can't read, so this is really difficult for us to watch this show. I read a dumbass review last week. Mm. I try and find it. It was like, what? It went kind of viral, the sentence, but it was like, watching this show, basically, they were like, one can't help but think that maybe that this is just like a chapter in it, and perhaps watching reading the whole book would be a better experience. And everyone's like, yeah, it's called yeah. The Book of Boba Fett. You've
and
literally
that's
watched
TV
one
show
episode.
Is, you schmingoid.
Yeah, it was like they were complaining that it felt episodic.
God. Oh,
here we go. The premiere, written by Jon Favreau and directed by Robert Rodriguez, mm-hmm. feels more like filler, or rather more like a chapter in a larger narrative than an actual book of its own.
Who wrote this?
The Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah. Oh. How funny is that?
My like, lord. Their first TV
literally,
show, they won on Earth.
Yeah.
But I think that...
What, this is someone that's only read a book watching the first TV show. Getting a lot of book vibes from it.
I think Favreau, I really like Jon Favreau a lot. I think he's... I really, really like him as a filmmaker. And I think that his sensibility for Star Wars is so, so on point for what I really like about Star Wars, which is... mythic genre storytelling, like deeply set in like the genres that inspire Star Wars, like the Western, the samurai films, and now seeing it come to life in a new way with like Book of Boba, with like a little bit of that Rodriguez, like dirty the sensibility, Western like there. That flair, that sound.
Whenever
of
he like
flair.
Trips in and out from the back to tank, I get Rodriguez vibes where it's
then
at,
you get,
like,
you know, Jon Favreau bringing a trickle of cowboys and aliens.
Yes, I love the cowboys.
Well,
and
that's exactly what else we spoke about in the same car trip. We talked about Orlando Bloom and cowboys and aliens. Yeah. No shit.
And
it's so funny.
I think that like it's. I've always wanted the Tusken Raiders to be explored further on screen because there's like I've always found them interesting, and then there's a Knights of the Old Republic video game. There's like they go in depth into the culture and history in that. I'm like, man, there's no way we'll ever be in a movie.
And I know that they paid tribute to that in Mando season 2 at one with the pearl and stuff from the Krayt Dragon.
The pearl from the Krayt Dragon. KOTOR. And I was like so and I cannot believe how much they're exploring this culture in this. Like I thought my hope was like maybe Obi-Wan series would do like some spiritual thing here. But I think handling with Boba Fett as a way to like not soften the character, but to add a greater depth to the character, to make them a protagonist that you can follow and understand as they go like through a complete
arc
and journey.
It's kind of nice because he was a guy that looked like everybody else.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So I don't think he's ever felt like an outsider to a degree.
Exactly.
And this time he's kind of looking very different to everyone else, but has been like accepted as a family member now.
Exactly.
It's like Boba Fett we've said it so many times, it was like a cool bit of background furniture because he just looked like a cool action figure, but he's just becoming such a fucking sick character. It's like the Darth Maul treatment in Clone Wars.
Exactly.
When you're like, oh, he looked cool, whatever, and then you're like, oh my god, this is one of the like top tier Star Wars characters.
And I'm very much digging like the kind of like Yojimbo meets obviously Man with No Name.
And like the daimyo, like it still walks that line between Western and Samurai. Like it's like he's the daimyo of Tatooine.
Exactly.
And I'm like, that's so sick that they're using that terminology. It's
but
like
it's so cool, like
sick.
Just that Yojimbo shit, or like Fistful of Dollars, how it's just like him walking around this town.
Yeah.
Walking around Mos Espa. Is it Mos Espa or
it's Mos Espa.
Mos Espa. Where he's going around just going like, you know, paying tribute and getting people to pay tribute to him. Like, man, it's so good.
It's cool too because like Mando, I love Mando, but it's very much like planet hopping adventure of the week. And I really hope we just stay on Tatooine for this.
Same.
It's just like, it's been just, I love the 50, well, I love the 80% flashback, 20% new story. Like I'm loving that. I don't want it to change. The Tusken shit is so tight. The lack of dialogue, the just
last week's flashback was all about I guess like how he escapes and what he does after
the
Jawas
like robbing him of the armor and then
he
him
pops
being
out the pit.
Found by Tuskens and then winning their trust by like taking down that six-armed like beast.
Yeah. And so now he's in their kind of care. They're kind of just hanging out.
Well, I think
out.
They've taken him in. Yeah. Oh, you mean at the
start of this episode.
I guess, he's not a prisoner anymore. He's not tied up. They're teaching him how to like use a gaffy stick for fighting and shit.
So I guess this is like how he gets those kind of more close combat martial skills that we saw him have in the Mando.
Because he was not very Boba Fett. Upon like it was like, oh shit, what's Boba Fett doing with a stick? And then when he got his gear back, he was like
using a jetpack.
Yeah. Then when he got his gear back, you're like, oh shit, that there he is.
So and also we see how he gets the black robes, we see him get that kind of cool staff weapon that we saw in Mando season 2.
Learning like what Jon Favreau's done and like this cool background piece of like you know, mass produced prop. Now it has like a really sick personal story, like how every Tusken gets a branch. Like
after they trip out by having a frog climb up their
nose.
Hey,
it's a lizard. It's Rango.
Dude, that's one of the best things I've ever seen in anything related to Star Wars.
Yeah, totally. That's up there with Luke milking that big old tit. Yes.
That's up there with that and the blowjob one from Rogue One, the one that sucks off that dude's head.
No, that was suck. That was awful. That's the worst thing about
the boar gullet.
Yeah, boar gullet.
Boar gullet. Yeah, I think that...
Ghost Dogs Borg Island.
this is Ghost such a gullet. Surprising series. Like, I really did not know what to anticipate with this. I thought it would be more like, you know, that rumored Star Trek Underworld.
Star Wars Underworld.
Star Wars... Sorry, excuse me. Star
Come
Trek.
On, you keep trying to hit the warp speed in this fucking podcast, bro.
Yeah, but when that George Lucas...
You know that droid Data series. And R2-D2, they go down to Tatooine.
Yeah, we love it. My favorite Star Wars character, Whoopi Goldberg. I love her.
Han Solo and Picard.
Yeah, but with, like, the... I really thought it would be more that, like, Star Wars Underworld shit, right. Where it would be kind
all
of...
All the bounty hunters and...
Yeah, bounty hunters, stories from the cantina, or kind of, like, just, you know, The Wire or something, like, trying to do some shit like that. But that it's gone in this, like, interesting spiritual direction with still completely honoring, like, the Western's.
Well, I feel
like
this and Mando have both been almost like this serialized Western.
Yeah.
And I kind of like, I don't know if this is going to be like this era of Star Wars TV shows.
I love it.
They all fall into that. That's kind of, I really like that idea.
And also what's incredible is essentially.
To me as well. I'm McLovin.
The first two series of Star Wars are about like pretty similar looking guys with helmets.
Yeah.
And they're like so tonally different. And I was kind of worried when they announced this as the second show. I mean, I remember some people were like, oh, it's called The Book of Boba Fett. Does that mean it's like the next season of The Mandalorian? Yeah. Because he is a Mandalorian.
Yeah.
But I do think it's sick that it just does feel quite like different to Mando, where it's more like this. I gotta rescue this kid, where this is like about self-discovery. And I mean, it's sick because he's learning about himself as we are, because like we don't really know anything about him, like,
and it's also doing the thing that everyone criticized the prequels of doing, which is just like, hey, you know this cool thing that you like, this is how it all started, and just kind of explaining these stories that for some people was like, oh, it kind of was cooler when they were just mysteries.
Doing it so well and so respectfully.
One of the most beloved mysteries of and like, you know, points of contention is, you know, oh, did Boba Fett escape the Sarlacc?
Yeah.
And I think they've done a really good job of explaining how it happened, you know, by opening with it in this scene. You know, we already know that he's alive because he was in Mando season 2, so they kind of...
But how did he get those scars? Yeah, Joker style. Yes. Yeah. But how did he get the robes? Like, what's he doing? And yeah, I'm so pumped to see.
Wanna know how
it.
I got these ears? Tamara Morrison's ears are so sick, man.
Tamara Morrison's like...
That's one of the biggest drives of why I like this. Yeah, is, like, same. It feels like justice for...
It feels like justice for Attack of the Clones, literally. So, and we've seen more footage from Attack of the Clones than we have in like years. Yeah. Like, it's sick.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's just like he's such a wonderful actor, and I think imbuing more of him and his persona into the character is such a great way to transform Boba Fett from being an anti-hero to just being a protagonist and being on his side. I think that's like...
Well, dude, we hate him in Empire. He's like,
yeah, he's bad.
He's hunting really the mean. People that we want to win.
He's and now, mean to them.
Yeah, and now he's gone like badass. It's so sick.
And now I think it's interesting to like, you know, in that first episode, there's a lot of save the cat moments with him where it's like,
well, yeah,
he
tries Rodian,
to save that Rodian. He does kid. All this, the kid. But I think it's a wise decision to not just go, oh, how cool is this, an anti-hero? I think to just imbue it with Tamara Morrison's, like, his energy and his essence, I think is a great way to bring this character
and you still
to
see him.
Actual
he's,
life.
He's not the Mando at all. Like, you see him, like, you know, get the Gamorreans to, like, threaten a dude with knives.
Oh,
and, like,
I loved it.
Just, like, he's still, like, meaner.
And also, but also, like, on like, in the good-natured stuff, like, you're never going to see Mando dance at the end of an episode of Mandalorian.
No.
But it was so, that was, like, such
that
a great such a moment. Scene. I think this is, like, they fully understand Tamura's range as an actor.
Yeah. He's and a like, physical actor, and we didn't see that in Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, fully, right?
He's like, such a physical actor.
So
and
it makes
like,
so much sense that they make his fighting style different. Like, he's not just a guy with a blaster anymore.
Yeah.
Like, and
I love seeing how little he wears the helmet. During the episode, Alexi's like, asked us, he's like, oh, do you like him without the helmet more? Because, like, you know, in the movies, you didn't see him without a helmet. But I just love his face. Like, I love the way he uses his eyes. Mm. Like, he taps into, like...
Whereas, God. Actually, I like Fennec's helmet a lot, too.
Fennec's helmet's sick.
Yeah.
Do you know what my hope is? As he's healing every episode in the Bacta tank, hopefully that it makes it rejuvenates his hair follicles and he gets that nice
the curly
little,
hair.
The curly
hair. I was thinking about his dad's hair today. Yeah. I was like, man, Jango has like nice curly hair.
But even I would love like the center part that young Boba has.
That'd be sick.
That would be awesome.
The Daniel Logan cut.
Yeah, the Daniel Logan cut, dude.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think
that.
This is the end of Tamira either. I honestly think we'll see him in Obi-Wan and Ahsoka as various clones.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
because there's a Captain Rex is around with Ahsoka and stuff, and is like an older clone. So I guarantee there'll be some form of him. And
so did he voice all these characters in Clone Wars?
No,
right.
An American guy did, and it's very telling because it's him trying to do it in a New Zealand accent.
Oh, yeah, right.
But I do think I think Tamira's going to be getting a healthy Disney paycheck for a while.
Yeah, okay, that's fantastic.
I mean, it makes sense, right? To Obi-Wan, you know, he was close with Cody, which is his clone commander, and we know Cody turned. If Cody's still alive and like sent after Obi-Wan as part of, I don't know. I mean, we're even getting ahead of the next series. I think that's only in a few months, which is tight.
Yeah, I think we're going to get a lot of Star Wars series this year, at least.
Yeah,
three.
I think we're getting Andor, Obi-Wan, and Bad Batch.
Oh, God, I always forget Andor exists.
I'm so confused about what that's going to do.
Yeah,
If Mendo's in it, I'm excited.
Yeah, I've heard
Oh, wow, okay. I don't know, man. Rogue One, I'm not that a big fan of. But I have an open mind. I think this, with the Mandalorian series, has opened me back up to enjoying Star Wars. Because I don't remember how much you talked about it after the screening since then.
Oh, man, but we were devastated with Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of Skywalker, just, man.
That's a great exercise in, like, fucking up the landing. Yeah. Like, for franchise filmmaking. Like,
it's such a bummer.
All they needed was another year, at least. And
exactly.
It was...
Just wait it.
Who was it, Bob Iger, that was like, we need it out now? And I remember, Kathy Kennedy was like, we need another year.
Yeah.
And they were like, we're keeping this release date. You need to get it out then.
I wish they didn't bring the Emperor back.
Oh, absolutely not. It should have been Kylo Ren as the villain. Like, they set him up to be... he was Supreme Leader. Like,
but it's just like...
Yeah,
man,
I still get angry when I talk
about it.
It
made me grow up. It made me just go, you know what? I don't need to be as obsessed with Star Wars anymore. But now coming back in,
I've already got Cars 2 on Blu-ray.
Good thing
with more
I got Cars 2.
Thank God I've retained
John
all my
Carter.
Knowledge that I've got from
John Carter's
you went to your diary in your John Carter notebook. You're like, today's the day I no longer. But like, the good thing with Star Wars is it's not all hits. And people's like least favorite Star Wars is other people's favorite Star Wars.
Exactly.
And I think like that's one of the coolest things about it. It's like interpretations of Batman. Like some people, you know, love this version or animated version, whatever. And it's just like, they're all valid. And I think that's the best thing about Star Wars now is how multifaceted it is.
Gaslight Batman.
Yeah. It's like whoever, whatever people bring to it is like, gives it a flair. And we've got this like sick Favreau Filoni era right now and seems to be really killing it. But you know, I really liked what Rian Johnson brought to it. A lot of people did it and that's fine. I didn't love what J.J. Abrams brought to the last one. I thought that was...
I wonder how much... Yeah, there's too many people to blame for Rise of
Skywalker. I reckon they're under NDAs, and I think it'll all come out one day. Like, Matt Smith was recently talking about it. He was the guy who was cut like a few Doctor Who's ago.
I was going to say, yeah, Doctor Who. Yeah,
but he was
to be freaking the Palpatine.
He was like, oh, because he was announced and the cast announced, and they deleted his name, like Alexei deletes his reviews.
Yeah,
from the Star Wars like official press release and website, and like he was talking about it recently in an interview, and Daisy Ridley was saying recently in another interview, like they didn't know what a parentage was until halfway through filming. They had all these different ideas, and
Lord.
It's not, they were making it on the seat of the, and you do not make a movie like that, like on the fly.
Yeah. I would.
Rian Johnson is the only filmmaker of the new era who has made the movie on time without any help and wrote and directed it and delivered it under budget. Like everyone else is like blown out, had rewrites, several directors. Yeah. But just like get
heaps of reshoots.
Reshoots, yeah. He was the only guy that just like got it in the can, done.
Fuck. Yeah. Well, and you know, now Johnny Favs is in charge. I like it.
Well, you know, I'm pretty sure we've spoken about it off pod, but like I think the best thing with Filoni and Favs are they're like yin and yang of what made George Lucas.
Phil and Fav.
The Finn and Fav.
Phil and Fav.
But they're like George Lucas split in two. Like Filoni's like the dreamy lore stuff where he's like obsessed and knows every backstory for every character.
And, like, he's probably the one seeding all this setup for the future. Well, he's, it never feels as egregious as like MCU stuff
absolutely.
Either. Yeah. Like it's
general egregious.
Like I feel like I think like the you know, in an MCU you would have like oh, what's that new weapon Boba has?
Yeah.
Some character like, would say, I wonder where he got that.
Yeah, or and like blue milk, that'll never work. And then like you'll see them drinking it in Tatooine or some shit. But then you've got Jon Favreau who like with the volume and shit, that's just like stuff that Lucas was doing in the 70s with ILM. And it's like together, it's kind of like, you know, if anything, it's like flattering for George Lucas. It's like it's taken two people to kind of
truly
get that side of him. Because I was reading a great quote from George Lucas the other day. They were like, someone was interviewing him, and I think it's with that new prequels book that's out by Taschen. They've done the like, I've got to get a copy of it, but it's like the history of the prequels, which is rare now to have any prequels related stuff published because Disney are turning around, like turning on to it, I guess, but like it's just so hard to find anything. It's all, you know, out of print or they just don't want to talk about it. But he was like, George Lucas is like, I know everything that's happening at any single time in the galaxy. And when I write a script, I just think about like what the main characters of the play are doing. But he's like, I know everything happening in the background. And it's just like, I think that's what Dave Filoni does. He's like hyper aware of where everyone is, where everyone can and can't be. And then you've got Jon Favreau, who's just like, I want the guy that would, like the blue elephant guy, and like he'll be like, "Oh, cool!" Like, and I think that's why they work together so well.
And I think between the two of them as well, they both have such like a wealth of knowledge of genre and like understanding like how audiences understand film through genre. And I think that's what these have been such as an interesting exercise in Star Wars. So Star Wars is genre films, but then I think the new sequel trilogy did not have a clear-cut genre at any point.
The genre was Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. The genre was Star Wars.
That was kind of, I guess the prequels were too.
How much better?
The prequels are more artistic, I find. Like they're like weird.
They're
movies.
Unique. They're unique experiments in cinema.
How much better was this train heist at the end?
Than the Solo one?
Than the Solo one.
All I could think.
Like in the second episode of Boba Fett.
Well, they didn't kill a black chick in this one, which is what they do in Solo.
I'm a fan of Solo, and I do like that train heist.
Like
that
I think Solo's great and like very bashed for no reason. Yeah.
I think this train heist
I thought it was boring as hell.
You haven't watched it again, have you?
No.
Watch it again one day, like in years to come.
All right.
It's really
on my deathbed.
If anything, you know
you
what?
Win, Angus. If you get coronavirus during this
coronavirus,
you have to watch it.
The Corona Dorian.
The coronavirus.
If anything, it is now when I think about it, it actually reminds me more of The Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett than Star Wars films because
absolutely.
It's like far more genre. It's like about one little story. It's not about this like, you know, galaxy affecting universe. I think if you watch it now in light of these, it'll make you happy.
It'll make you excited.
I know that if I revisit Rogue One, I won't like it as much.
Yeah.
Because I loved it coming out of the.
Dude, it still has
I'm
the
trying
best,
to bring more people to my side of thinking.
It still has the best space battle in any Star Wars movie. That final battle of Scarif in space is
all
like
the action
fucking sick.
I loved so
much. The last third of that movie is tight.
And the fucking sacrifice of that droid.
Oh, yeah, K2SO.
Bawled my eyes out.
Yeah. That's a weird movie, too. I reckon that and Solo will be looked back upon differently.
Okay.
But Solo is tight.
Well, I just, yeah, that train robbery.
It's Woody Harrelson in a Star Wars movie.
That's true, yeah.
It's got fucking Alden Ehrenreich.
And it's a gorgeous looking movie.
But I
it's
think
gorgeous looking, right?
This train, I think it's the best looking Star Wars movie.
Same.
I'm sorry that I didn't answer
it. It doesn't
quick
look
enough.
Like a Star Wars movie, which is why it's gorgeous.
It's shot by this great cinematographer.
Chicago dude. Who,
yeah, he did this amazing movie called Pariah.
He's like young,
Piranha
isn't he?
3D.
He's just like amazing the way he uses lights.
Or lack of. Right? It's got such a dark movie, but not like Chris Nolan's audio being like, you know, unintelligible.
And just, this episode of Book of Boba, while we're talking about cinematography,
there you go.
The cinematographer on the Book of Boba is Dean Cundey. Like, truly.
Hey, dude, we don't use that language on this pod.
I
don't know what you're doing.
One of the greatest
cunnies
in all
of
cinema.
I don't know what you're doing, Total Reboot or whatever, but that's not what we do on this one.
This is how we talk on Total Reboot, dude. We call everyone cunnies. If anyone's a legend,
the door's there, bro.
The dean of Cundey University.
This is a family podcast. It's called Hey Family. It's family values. You know?
He is one of the all-time greatest legends of genre cinematography.
Did he do the first step?
Yes, he's. I think he's the cinematographer for the season.
Mando
the Kundalorian.
As well?
He's Kundalorian. The Kundalorian.
Did he do Mando?
I don't think so, no. Yeah, right. But he is John Carpenter's cinematographer. So he did Halloween. That was the first collaboration together. He did The Fog. He did fucking Escape from New York. He did Big Trouble in Little China. He is Zemeckis's cinematographer. So he did Back to the Future. He did
Romancing the Stone.
Romancing the Stone. Fucking
Beowulf.
Roger Rabbit.
He did Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Wow. So that's like the most...
He did Hook. He did Death
he
Becomes
did Hook.
I love Hook.
Yeah. Jurassic Park, The Flintstones.
Yeah.
Casper. He did Casper.
If you look at all those films, such a diverse filmography, yeah. They're all like truly...
Garfield, 2004's
some of the best
Garfield.
Looking movies, especially with using visual
Tale of
effects.
Two Kitties, is that on there?
No, he did Jack and Jill though.
Yeah, that's good looking movie.
Yeah, because it's two Adam Sandlers.
Yeah, they would have got him because he can use effects. He understands effects well. And so that's to make bring the shit together of the two Sandlers. And Al Pacino.
It's funny what it's almost like it's kind of awesome that he's on this now because the last like 10, after having like such an incredible run of the 70s, 80s and 90s, the 2000s kind of dropped downhill pretty fast. It goes like Jack and Jill, Crazy Kind of Love, The Girl in the Photographs, Slammer Jammer, Anastasia, Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
And now he's doing this.
He is an absolute legend icon, like one of the great cinematographers, but especially with effects. And I think it comes really into play here.
In the 2010 series, Scooby-Doo, Curse of the Lake Monster.
But like in this, where we've got like that great train robbery, I think it just is so imbued with so much of like what cinema is, you know? That's like... Back to the dawn of cinema, we've got like the great train robbery, like the
Buston Keaton.
No, not Buston Keaton. It's like a Western,
Michael Keaton.
Western gangster movie where it's like gangsters robbing a train.
Yeah, Polar Express. We were talking about it before.
So it's
Robert
just,
Zemeckis. We
it's
know.
So exciting.
He did
to
this
see,
because
like,
of Polar Express.
Yeah. It's just we got a master fucking yeah. on this show.
There's like no dialogue in this episode.
Just so before we move on, I just wanted to let you know that the Kundalorian himself was the second unit director on 2006's Garfield, A Tale of Two Kids.
Thank you.
Man, that second unit's nothing to sniff at as a director.
No, because you know he has to learn to shoot in England and then when the Garfield switch up occurs because he gets confused with the royal kitty.
Is that the plot?
Yeah. John goes to London or something.
Wow,
Breckenmeyer goes to London with Garfield and the royal cat looks like Garfield and they
Who's
switch
the
places.
Who's the royal cat?
It's the titular two kitties.
But who plays it? Bill Murray's regular Garfield?
Maybe Bill Murray's brother?
No, it's
you know,
John Cleese?
Billy Connolly.
Wow, okay.
What's that cat called?
Okay, the cast... Billy Connolly as Lord Manfred Dargis.
That rules.
Okay, who is an evil lord. Okay. Oh, no, live action voice cast. Oh, wow. Tim Curry
Yeah,
perfect.
Prince the twelfth, an English cat who is a twin counterpart of Garfield.
But he's the cat. Yeah.
Bob Hoskins plays Winston, an English bulldog.
I mean, Bob's last role.
Rhys Ifans is McBunny, a Scottish accented Belgian hare.
Dude, this sounds
Vinnie
great.
Vinnie Jones plays a Rottweiler.
Of course he does.
Love
him. Richard E. Grant plays a Scarlet Macaw.
Oh God, I love
him.
Did
Guy Ritchie make Tale of Two Kitties?
That'd be great.
Right, you listen here, you lasagna loving fuck. You know, he goes, do you know who I am? And he's like, oh no. He's like, you can call me Monday because you're going to hate me.
That'd be sick. Guy Ritchie rebooted Garfield ASAP.
Yeah, we got him.
Get him off that fucking whitewashed sort of Aladdin.
Yeah, he's fucking... But
is it Jason Statham is the
Jason
villain?
Jason Statham is Odie and he's gone. Yeah, Jason Statham's Odie.
Do you know why my tongue's hanging out, mate? Because I just licked your mother's beard.
He's just like a real...
You're not the only pussy I've seen today, mate.
He's like just a real, real rough. They get him from the pound and it's just like... And he's playing... Everyone else is like CG Garfield, Breckin Meyer, but then just human Jason Statham. Not even in a dog outfit.
He's got ears on. Just
not even.
Like he's just wearing a collar.
Yeah, he's just got a collar. And like,
no, it's the same
collar. Transporter
what's
suit.
What's the collar that he has? Isn't there the one where like if his heart drops below?
Crank, dude.
Crank.
You got the
it's just
crank
him.
Collar.
He's wearing a suit like he always does, like his transporter suit.
Yeah. We got that crank collar on.
How's that lasagna taste, mate?
Yeah, there's a little something replacing the bechamel sauce in your lasagna.
How's that white sauce?
Yeah, and I hesitate to figure what it tastes like.
None of you got some in your whiskers, mate.
None of the animals are voiced.
No, it's just Jason Statham like yelling at coming animals. In their lasagna and abusing them by calling them Monday.
Telling real life animals that he fucked their mother. Yeah. Mothers. Yeah.
And John's like, Garfield, play nice. Oh, Jason Statham's like, just destroying them.
Holding a gun to
Jason Statham's like fucking John's girlfriend. Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah, I gotta keep my heart rate up at a certain level, so I gotta have sex with your girlfriend, John.
Yeah. Damn, that's sick. I can't not think about that now. And it's called Garfield, A Tale of Two Titties. It's him motorboating Jennifer Love Hewitt's character. Yeah, that's it.
That's great.
Yeah, we gotta make this.
Yeah.
Watching this episode of Boba Fett actually reminded me a lot of one of my favorite video games from last year, Sable.
Okay. Oh yeah, sure.
On Xbox, you play as like a girl living on like this kind of like very desolate desert planet, and
a Ray Palpatine, if you will.
Yeah. Well, once you become old enough, you have to go on your journey. You have to glide. Basically, you get given a glider, which is very close to
a speeder bike.
You go on your gliding and you have to like meet all these different people who do different things in the world and decide which of the roles that you see in action is for you. And then you commit to being that role for the rest of your life after you see enough of the world. Fucking amazing game.
Yeah, I can't wait to play it. Yeah, it was kind of buggy, right?
Yeah, I think it's all been patched now.
Tight.
Oh, I love a bug.
Yeah, delicious bug.
Bug's Life.
Balmain bug.
I love Balmain
bug. I love Bug's
bugs
Life.
From, Matrix,
I love
Resurrections.
Bugs from Matrix Resurrections. I love
Fuck, Morton that's a
Bay
sick
bug.
Segue. She going to be in Book of Bugs?
Book of Bugger.
Book of Bugs Fett.
How cool was it when Boba said, called
Bugger?
The lizard a little bugger.
Dude, I want him to just start slipping in like, more of that shit.
More.
Bro.
More,
cuz.
Cuz.
Choice.
He calls someone his Yuso.
Oh, dude, how cool is it seeing those huts?
Oh,
we haven't
man.
Seen new
hut.
Huts.
Good lord.
New hut, who dis? They were fucking...
Twinning. There's a little...
Awesome. We got the twin cousins of...
A little close for cousins, don't you think?
Yeah,
just
a little kissing cousins.
No, they were twins,
dude,
and they were cousins of Jabba,
twins,
yeah.
They're sliding up on each other. Oh, yeah. I love that they're getting carried by all these, like... Fucking hunks, dude.
Yeah.
This
show is full of hunks. Not only Tamara Morrison is obviously like, a big hunk, but he's constantly out hunked by the Gamorreans that are packing the hate behind him.
We love those.
They're like
guys.
The Chippendales of Tatooine.
Yeah, little fucking Action Bronsons.
They're
dude.
So tight.
We love them.
Like, they were like, Rotunda in Return of the Jedi. And in this, these are just like the ripped bros.
Dude, they're like Turkish fucking wrestlers, dude.
They're handsome
awesome.
As hell.
Yeah.
What's that movie with Channing Tatum and Steve Carell about wrestling? No, Foxcatcher?
Foxcatcher.
That's what these guys are like, Foxcatchers.
No, at the end of This Is the End, when Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they look like.
Yeah. Man, fuck yeah. Hey,
fucking Dan McBride walking in there like, would be a great Gamorrean.
Yes.
He would be sick. Oh, he'd be amazing Gamorrean. Or like the dude who looked after the Rancor.
Oh, man. I was hoping he would be in this. I don't know.
Put Danny McBride in a Star Wars 100%. Show.
100%. Sure, we're ready for it. Like, he works with the tone. I think he could have like a fun tone.
Yeah, yeah.
Have him like run a like a cantina or be a shitty bounty hunter or something.
Or just like, yeah, like a herder.
Cast him as fucking Dengar.
Make him a nerf herder.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Dengar live action. I would love that.
Yeah. Do you think we'll get any of the classic Empire bounty hunters in this?
Yes, I think we're gonna see who's a Trandoshan one?
Bosk.
Yeah,
because him and Boba are pals in Clone Wars.
Yeah, I reckon Bisk. He'll be in this because we're seeing some Trandoshans in the Tatooine world,
and he's mentioned Trandoshan a few times. Yes,
so I think Bosk. Well,
one came in the
back.
First episode with the Wookiee pal,
and that guy was voiced by Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, speaking of Wookiees, we've had a comic character.
Yeah, what was the name again? Like Cranton. Brisker or something like that.
Black Cranton.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Right.
This massive just...
There's an R in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was from Kieran Gillen's Darth Vader run. Yeah.
He's like and a bounty hunter that's hired to...
And the Dr. Afra as well, right?
Yeah.
Fuck, he looks sick.
That's cool. Yeah, he looks
awesome.
Love
seeing a new Wookiee.
So menacing,
yeah.
Is there going to be a Dr. Afra TV show? I remember them saying stuff
That'd
like
be
that.
Sick.
It would make sense, but I think you'd have a lot of retelling. Yeah. They haven't really done that, like retelling
or, yeah,
stuff.
They should have her like the way they've had Ahsoka in Mando. Like, if you know, you know, but if not, it's cool. It still works without the perceived knowledge.
Yeah.
Like, you knew that Ahsoka was a Jedi. You know, that's all you kind of needed to know.
I mean, Dr. Aphra's kind of trait is that she's like a very intelligent, but also might double cross you.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty fun character.
She has that like solo vibe almost. Like, she, you know, before the hero.
I can see her showing up in Andor.
That'd be tight.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, because she's around that era.
The right period, yeah.
She'd be a bit younger, but yeah, that makes sense.
Is Andor... No, that's...
So Andor said before Rogue One. I mean, she could be an Obi-Wan.
Yeah. No, I think all that comic book run is set between Star Wars and Empire.
Between A New Hope and Empire, yeah. So she wouldn't be too much younger.
Yeah. Interesting. Oh, yeah, but Book of Boba Fett, fucking...
So good.
The good shit.
The length was really perfect, too. I love that. I was like... Yeah, and I was enthralled the whole time. I love the train driver droid. That dude ruled.
Yeah, he just like kind of scuttled off at the
end.
Yeah,
the little spider thing.
Bring him back.
Yeah, he's tired.
I have to say, as big a fan as I am of Matt Berry, I'm not a big fan of that droid yet. I don't like the way it moves around.
From Return of the Jedi. Yeah. He's a torture droid. He's a sadistic fuck.
But it's just his performance is fine. It's just the way that droid moves. I don't like it.
Wow, interesting. It's makes
too rigid.
I'm pumped because I realized, I think last ep I was like, man, we won't get any more Bib Fortuna, and that sucks because I love how like pathetic he is. But I realized we'll probably see like the lead up to Boba like taking that throne.
Oh, cool.
With the flashback stuff, because I didn't realize how prevalent the flashback stuff is. So we're probably going to see like Bib ruling for a while, like what Tatooine is like under him.
Do you reckon Bib has Slave One?
Yeah, I reckon they go to the palace to get it. Because it's parked there, I guess, before he's in the Sarlacc. So maybe Bib's got it and using it his own. Or I reckon he goes there to get it. And that's where they say Bib. Because that makes sense, right?
I reckon they're going to canonically have Boba Fett change the name of the ship in the series.
Yeah.
Because Disney are now calling it Boba Fett Starship.
Which, I mean, like, I understand why you don't want to have the word slave.
Bib one.
You also pointed out there was a really interesting cameo that if you know, you know. If you don't, you don't.
There was Toshi Station, the
James Corden.
James Corden. James Corden is actually in The Last Jedi.
What?
He gets killed at the start, which is great. When he's one of the resistance fighters, Poe makes the plan, you see like a quick shot of him being like, and then blowing up.
How did this happen? How do Americans like him?
Yeah,
but I feel like
Toshi's a sire.
I don't know anyone who likes him.
But how do they get him for everything?
That's how you know he's a psyop, because no one likes him, but he's everywhere. He's prevalent. It was Toshi Station, and only known from like special, like deleted scenes and like photos from old, like destroyed. The footage is like all but destroyed, basically, right? Toshi Station stuff.
Yeah,
there's some of it on the Blu-ray.
It appeared in some VHS editions of Star Wars, or maybe it was a TV recorded. like a TV, when it aired on TV originally, they were like, oh, we got some more shit to fill out.
But it just looked like it's always been bad and unrestored. But there were two characters there, which were Fixer and what was her name? But they recast them to look like Luke's friends.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, that line.
Big Darklight is there as well, right?
Yeah, there was a whole... It's how we first met Luke, basically. He was like hanging out with them and it was kind of like Lucas tapping into the American Graffiti Greaser vibe. It's where like everyone hung out with their speeders and like would get power converters, yeah, I guess.
Exactly. We love those conversions.
Yeah, it was sick to finally see it. But in this time, it was just like Boba Fett showing up and fucking up all the Pike Syndicate, like crony. Oh no, that was just a different gang. Just fucking up all those cronies. It was sick.
Yeah. Great episode. Very fucking hype for the next episodes. I love that it's only 7 episodes long too. I love that we're in an era now streaming has allowed everyone to work out that like, hey, shorter series are actually the way
you
to
don't
go.
Need to do 12.
Exactly. Yeah.
You don't fill up 12.
Figured it out, dude. That's with true. Fucking 1 foot in the grave and all those old fucking shows.
Yeah.
Here, 11s is what I showed. Alexi.
Angus just showing me some.
So they're like actors from the 70s that they recast as that couple. Like,
yeah.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, that's great.
How good's that Luke fit, the bucket hat?
Bucket fit, Skywalker.
I had a toy with the bucket hat.
He looks like really? Young Lane. Yeah. It's awesome.
Is that like just an offset? They made a toy of Luke
of a deleted scene.
It's a flat, it goes on. Like it's not, his head wasn't sculpted with it on.
No, sure, yeah.
But, and then it came with like a long rifle.
That's mad.
Yeah.
Loved when Boba broke his rifle by cracking it over. Yeah. Some
so Boba hitting dudes cundies. In the nuts.
Some cundies head.
Always sick to see someone getting hit in the nuts.
Yeah totally. Yeah.
I
would have loved more of a like boom kind of like.
What was the one we watched? Oh, it was Home Alone 3 where I think there was a nut hit and he goes like,
oh yeah, yeah.
Just that face.
Alex, what's his name?
Alex D. Linz, dude.
He's like zooms in and him going like, ooh.
Yeah, he goes cross-eyed.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Hey, so that's it of Hey Fam. But guess what? Alexi, obviously, as my co-host, is going to be sticking around.
Yeah, of course.
For Hey Fam, Angus, our special guest, will you join us?
And Angus Truscott as Angus Truscott.
Yeah, executive producer, Hey Fam as well. Because every week when we finish recording Hey Fam, we hit stop, then we hit record once again.
Mm-hmm. We hit stop, we hug each other, John Lasseter style. Yeah,
we don't break
we spin
that
around
line.
In a circle.
We hum at a low level and hug each other.
We record the first hour of our week-long hug.
Mm-hmm.
We call it PayFam. So if you would like to enjoy...
It's crazy that they let us do it.
Another episode. This is as long as the one you just heard of PayFam with the three
How
of us.
How long was that one, FYI?
Just under an hour.
Fantastic.
We'll be heckin' and jeckin' about... about... Well... So at the end of the year, there were two big blockbusters.
Harry Potter reunion and Friends reunion. Well, the year was sandwiched with two big blockbusters, you mean?
So we had obviously Spider-Man Far From Home, which...
No Way Home.
No Way Home, whatever. No one knows what it's called.
Don't bring us into...
Spider-Man Resurrections and The Matrix.
Matrix No Way Home. No Way Home. Yeah.
And we really enjoyed Spider-Man. Alexi did not.
Yeah.
And last week we talked about Matrix Resurrections, a movie which I didn't enjoy. Angus really enjoyed it more than me, but
I realized I've just been thinking about it nonstop, basically, and I'm like, yeah, that's a sign.
You put it on your top 20 film list of the year.
Top 21, actually.
Top 21, okay.
Yeah. Right.
Wait, which number was it? 21?
21. I don't know.
Because then that's kind of insulting to it.
It was random. I just put them all together.
Top 21's like, why not go to 25?
Well, it was 2021, so I did 21. Excuse to leave one more.
It checks out.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. I guess thematically it does
line
up. Let
me put VHS 1994 on there. So I was like, okay, I'll keep it on there.
I did a best 20 songs of 2021 mix. And my wife was like, why didn't you just make it 21? And I was like, oh, yep.
One more song.
I'm a fuckhead.
Yeah, the number one, the 21 was the vasectomy I got.
the sound of the scissors snipping.
That you never hear. That keeps me up at night, honey.
How
are you, by the way? Are you all good there?
Down
south.
Yeah, I mean it's mostly good. There's still like two big fucking lumps at the end of my vas deferens.
Dude, those are the nuts. those are the
okay,
nuts. There's,
okay, well, I now have four vas fucking lumps nuts. Down there. I'm feeling double here.
Four balls. Maybe they installed two new balls.
You'll be using double, dude.
I'll be shooting out quintuplets every time. And
it's like a crazy doctor. It's like that doctor from South Park, Mephisto. He's just like They just spliced
the two four new asses.
Yeah, he's like a boy with four balls.
They said it couldn't be done.
Yeah. That's like one of the best characters ever.
So good.
Puts asses
Mephisto
on.
Kevin.
As a kid, I was like, that's really funny. And then as an adult, I'm like, that's actually funnier than I thought it was as a kid because it's like so stupid. Just asses on things.
And
awesome.
Doesn't he kill something because even though it's successful for Gigi, he's like, oh, he has one ass.
He's
it's a failure.
One ass. Kills like an ostrich or something with one ass. This is like,
so we're going to be talking about South Park for the next hour.
Yes.
This is like the best South Park podcast. That's all we talk about now.
So we're going to be talking about Matrix and Spider-Man, the year in film that Alexi wasn't allowed to talk about on Total Reboot.
Yeah, we
do not talk about movies anymore.
No, we don't do movies.
Talk about rebooting
computers.
We just
talk about each other. We talk about each other in our lives. No, it's not a reboot. We've been doing nice mini-series.
It just interview
like,
comedians about what it's like to be a comedian.
We ask comedians what their favorite movies are, like how they've begun to like
that's
them
sick.
And stuff like that. No, awesome. Total Reboot, we're doing
you must
nice
some really interesting
series.
Which movie was on in the background when your father abused you, every comedian in Australia?
We'd pick like a nice mini-series to do these days where we're like, we just did Christmas crime movies.
Oh yeah, and Home Alone.
So, yeah, no, we did.
There's
Catch
an obvious
you
one
can.
You missed: Christmas Crime, Home Alone.
Yeah, so of course we talked about it. Nonetheless, of course, it comes up in conversation all the time.
I don't say how to podcast, but.
Yes, we love Home Alone. It's one of my top 10 favorite movies of all history.
Only one person in this room owns a Home Alone Lego set.
I know.
Though.
Yeah. But the two others have that in their cart permanently. Ready to pull the trigger at any point.
Yeah, well, when you pull that trigger, you call me boy. Yes.
It's either the vasectomy or the Home Alone Lego set.
Yeah, it's either my wife and family or the Home Alone set. I'm noted by the absence of both. But I do have the Home Alone set.
That's
so.
True. Yeah, it's true.
Fuck, so I love living alone. It rules.
Make
so
sure you
much.
Listen to Total Reboot, of course.
Yeah.
Whatever next thing you try and find in podcast form.
Fingers crossed, you know, it's probably.
What do you guys think of this big lamp I got?
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's good. Yeah, it's worth interrupting.
John Lasseter would fucking flip.
Well, that's what I thought.
Big bouncing lamp that
That's
big.
What I thought. I mean, I was looking at it and I'm like, I wanted to hug it all of a sudden. It's got some real Pixar energy.
Get
I didn't
that lamp to crush me down like I was a letter I.
If you had like a Swiss ball for yoga or whatever,
I'll just lay there on top of it.
Draw the Pixar logo on it.
John Lasseter is the ball. He goes up and whispers in the female animator's ears. He's like, you be the lamp, I be the ball. It's like, I need to be deflated, baby.
So yeah, listen to PayFam coming up.
What letter is that? The I?
Yeah, it's the
eye. PayFam, cool. Of course, you can find over at patreon.com/heyfam. $5 a month is all it costs for you to listen to all of the episodes that we throw up there every single week. There's hundreds of them now. We're rapidly approaching. This year, we're going to hit episode 500 of HeyFam.
Jesus Christ, you guys got to stop.
We can't.
Try and stop us.
Okay.
Before we end, I just want to give a quick plug, my last ever plug to my other podcasts, All the Small Games and Serious Issues, because I wrapped up both of those in the last week.
Unbelievable. A piece of podcasting history has found its end note.
I think Serious Issues, I think we rebooted it.
Totally.
That's why we're talking about it on our podcast.
But that ended, I think we did like almost 200 episodes of that, and then that's my comic book podcast. So we wrapped up with.
It was your comic book podcast.
That's very true. Wrapped up with the best comics of 2021 episode, which just went up.
21 issues.
That's right. And 21 pages.
Yeah.
And
21 frames.
21 Savage. And then All the Small Games just wrapped up yesterday. Me and John Valenzuela did our top indie games of the year. We did a 3.5 hour episode.
Jeez.
That's insane.
And then we stopped recording and did an hour and a half Patreon episode after that.
Fuck that.
So a lot of podcasting. I drank so many beers. It's a very good listen. You can hear both of them over at Sans Pants Radio.
I like that you've transitioned to the drunk like recorder.
What do you mean? Like
I started and now it's like
bat
and fully handled.
No, I think there's a big difference between like hitting record when you're already drunk and getting drunk as the podcast.
Yeah, sure.
Because I feel like people, even though they stay sober, they go on that journey.
There's almost like
you.
A contact high. It's like a high when you're like, man, now I'm feeling, maybe I'm going to hit this kid while I'm driving. Just I'm feeling Leyland's fumes.
Well, if that, besides that last thing Angus said sounds appealing to you, head over to sensusbarrier.com. Find All the Small Games.
Maybe it's like Mad Max issues. Future. You got to. Just run over people.
That's
for
true.
Food.
It has. There
if someone's listening to this in the year 4000, well, maybe even the year 2060, and the world's been, you know, torn to shreds, and you've got to do whatever you can to survive. Hit that kid. Eat it.
Cool. Well,
sweetest meat.
We're definitely going to continue this conversation over at PayFam. Come and join us. Patreon.com/PayFam. Thank you for listening. Alexi, see you at PayFam.
Oh, see you there.
See you in the PayFam room. We're all going to walk there now.
The PayFam of us.
Yeah, the PayFam office.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.